wonder what is.
What is, what is,
what is.
It's Darren Herbert. He plays Stephen in the wonderful production of If Then. I went into this this production not having ever seen the musical, the play, anything, and I loved it. I was blown away. I could relate to so many choices and so many things going on. Give us kind of a brief synopsis of If Then.
Okay, well, If Then tells the story of, I guess I better use her full name, Elizabeth Vaughn. And she's, you know, recently divorced, moving back to New York after some time away. And it basically, the story kind of diverges at a point in Central Park where she could choose between spending time with a new friend that she's made and going off to listen to some music in Brooklyn, or spending time with an old friend who's trying to get her involved politically in the city. They're doing a protest against some expansions in Brooklyn. So the play kind of diverges there in that we follow both paths kind of simultaneously. So the show goes down the path of Beth, who's one half, and Liz, who's the other. And where that particular choice, that moment, and that divergent, where that divergence happened, we kind of follow what happens to both of them from then kind of on for maybe the next 5-6 years.
It's kind of the fork in the road, but you get to follow both.
Yeah, you get to see both
avenues.
As opposed to going, I wonder what would have happened if. You get to see what would have happened if. So you're watching both happen, like I said, almost simultaneously.
That's what I love so much, is that you get to see both sides, what will happen in both paths that she chooses. And when I say, you know, the Lizbeth character, everybody is affected by that. And you play Stephen, and I love your character so much, Darren, because Liz gets to choose, and I'm not spoiling anything. Liz is, you know, in a sense choosing between Lucas and Josh, but then there's Stephen, who is kind of her boss, yet mentor. And there's some sparks that fly there, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, they have a history from before, too. You know, kind of a briefly alluded to one. But, yeah, it's very interesting the way it's woven together.
Do you get people who have seen the performance and say, oh, I said this to you when I first met you. I wanted her to go with Stephen. And I'm not saying whether she did or not.
I've heard it. I mean, I don't know how much of a spoiler it would be to say he's also currently
involved
in a relationship, so that, you know, that adds to the kind of tension of it and the pressure as well. But yep, I've heard people say that. People, you know, there, she has a couple of options, shall we say, and people sometimes say, oh, why didn't she pick that one, why didn't she go with Steve?
I was rooting for you the whole time. And I'm not gonna say what happens, but do you find it just uniquely parallel to life? I mean, it's kind of a timeless performance because it could relate to anybody's life.
It could. Especially, Amanda and I were talking earlier, too, and I said, you know, the reactions kind of depend on a certain amount of life experience that people may have had. So to an extent, I mean, they still enjoy the show. The music still has its impact. The story tends to have greater resonance for people with more life experience. I mean, because we're touring, I've been running into friends from like decades ago, like even some friends that I grew up with in Bermuda who came and saw it in San Francisco. And I mean, we're talking same-sex male couples who are moved literally to the point where they don't want to talk about it after the show. Also women who, there was one who was here with my wife this weekend who, again, we grew up in Bermuda together and, you know, we hadn't seen for a while. But she came and saw the show and she's right in this same pocket. Like she was saying the songs and right almost from the get-go when she's going 39, da-da-da. And from then on, she was like, verklempt.
I know.
Like we didn't even talk about the show. I could tell they wanted to have a conversation, so I was like, well, I have another show today, so I'll see you ladies. You enjoy the rest of the dinner. I'm going to go and recover, and you have your chat, because some of it, you know, it gets really into the guts pretty quickly, and, you know, it resonates for them very powerfully. So some people get moved to the point where they don't even want to talk about it right away.
I was moved in portions where I didn't think I would be moved. You know, at one point I'm going along kind of rooting for the Liz character. Then I'm rooting for the Beth path. And once you see the performance, you'll understand. But then the lesbian couple, and then there are two gay couples in the performance, and one couple you're just so angry at, and then the other Oh, you're in tears.
Mm-hmm. Like, please,
yes,
please,
you're,
it work.
Yeah, you're rooting for them. So it's real life stories, and I love the diversity as well. I mean, do you find that as well? People say the diversity is just magnificent.
I'm trying to scroll through my brain. I like it too, personally, but I don't know that people commented on it as much afterward, which is a good thing as well, you know, because it shouldn't really be that big a deal.
Yeah.
But still, even in 2016, it is something of a big deal. But, yeah, people don't often comment on it, but it makes me feel good. I enjoy it. I like that it's very diverse.
Well, you give such a spectacular performance. You see you putting everything into it, and you get a little emotional in some of the scenes as well, too.
Yeah,
and
it's moving. I mean, I know these people.
Yeah.
I'm in that same age bracket. So a lot of it, for me, it almost seems like it makes perfect sense. Everything, the decisions and how this one leads to that. And I go, yeah, if you do that, then... Yeah, that pretty much makes sense. And then,
if then.
Yeah, so, you know, many of the characters are having their own if-then moments as they go. It's mainly about Elizabeth's, but everybody really gets to have a moment of that where you go, yes, or please do, or no, don't do it. You know, they all have moments like that throughout the show, and it's pretty amazing the way they wove it all together and tacked music on well, I wouldn't even say on top, because the music is how it happens.
Oh, the music is wonderful. The what the F?
One of my favorites.
That is my favorite production. What the F? Because as soon as she says it, and you'll understand when you see it, I'm going, that's what I say. You know, that's what we all say at different points in our lives, in our work, in our personal lives. So it's really relatable on every level, on every facet of our life.
I mean, you can only think about things so much. You can think it through and then plan and go, well, if I do this, then you have to get to the point where you have to actually act. You have to do something. So you've worked out all the possibilities on this angle. You've worked out all the probabilities on this angle. Now you just have to pick one. Good luck. So pretty much somebody chugs a drink and then they go, ah, puppet. And they go and do it. Or you know.
Or you say, what the F.
Yep.
And you leave it at that. Just
toss something in the air and go, what the F. And off you go.
You know, speaking of parallel universes, you have had such an amazing life. Reading your bio, I mean, you were a nursing assistant, a dietary technician, a teacher, a reservist. You're from Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your life. I mean, the choices that you've made and what led you to acting.
The show has me thinking about all that stuff pretty frequently, like especially of late, like my wife and I have been talking about. So what does our future look like? What does the rest of our lives, not the whole thing, because that's a bit big to be trying to figure out, but Do you see us going back to the island at any point and setting up shop, or how, you know, what would be ideal for us as a pair? Can we both do what we do from there and here? Should we split it half the year in TO, half the year in BDA? And, you know, how often do you need to get to New York? How often would you like to get to New York? Do you want to hit the West Coast? You know, so we're always weaving that stuff and seeing, like, what would the life that we actually want, the quote-unquote perfect one, how would that look? How would that work? You know, just in all the tangible ways. So we're doing a lot of the same processing that Elizabeth does. But, you know, of course, this is real life, and we have to make it work one way or the other. It has to work. So what are our priorities? How do things weigh out? But, yeah, it's been an amazing path. If you would have told me that I would be doing this at this moment 10 years ago, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
No kidding.
Because within that span of time, I mean, never mind having left the island to go to study in the U.S. and then spending time working there. But we've spent time in Japan. We've done, I don't even know. We lived in Vancouver for a goodly while. We're in Toronto now. I've lived in L.A., Philadelphia. It's so much been crammed into such a small life. I'm just an island boy. So it all feels just like, a lot of stuff has been crammed into this one little life, one little body. And, you know, the partnerships I've made, the friends I've had, lost in that time. I mean, I've just met with a friend of mine here who I met when we worked on the film Dreamgirls together.
Okay.
And I hadn't seen him almost literally since 2006. We were trying to scroll in our heads and go, it's been 10 years.
And did you pick up kind of where you left off?
For the most part, I mean, our lives, I've married since then. I was single back then. I wasn't even with my wife even as a girlfriend in that time period. We were friends at the time, and I would not have known that we would be married. Like I said, if you had told me then, I'd be like, what? Marrying her? Really? Because at the time, I'm like, I need to get somebody American so I can stay on the continent. And, you know, but
exactly.
And you know, he's up here with a full-fledged family going on. He's teaching again, all kinds of stuff. He teaches karate. You know, he teaches at a school literally uptown. yeah, so many things have changed, but we're still essentially the same people. And we still connect on the same level that we connected then as musicians, as artists, as human beings. So.
And your wife has just recently come to Chicago. She saw
your
performance.
She just left this morning. Yeah, yeah. She's seen the show a few times.
Yeah.
But even this time, she was moved. Even when she sits in my, last night she sat in my dressing room. She didn't even watch the show. So
really?
she hung out with me backstage and she sat in my dressing room and listened to it over the PA.
Oh.
And even then, it moves her. She's like, this song, I'll come back to the dressing room, and she's got the teary eye look, and I'm like, okay, I know which song just started it.
It's the power of the words, too. It's the power of the audio and the words. You bring up a really good point, because you don't necessarily need to see this. It's not flashy and showy with, you know, dancing girls and whatnot, but
mm-hmm.
you can just kind of close your eyes and take it in. So I could see
mm-hmm.
that angle of it, too.
Yes, I guess she saw it as a radio play last night, you know, inadvertently, you know, and it still resonated.
And what I love about the performance as well is, you know, and I've said this before, people, you know, with their cast, they bond. But every character in this performance, whether it's Kate or Liz or Beth or Anne or whoever or Stephen, each character kind of becomes a main character at one point. It really is an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, much like the fabric of life in New York, as it were, you know, I mean, people come and go so quickly, but you know, you're all woven together in such a way that you're linked. I mean, it's kind of odd to me too. I mean, it happens in major cities, period, but New York in particular, because it's so fast paced, and I haven't lived there for any significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But just even in my quick visits, I mean, people you encounter for a day or for a week or for minutes, even you meet, you have an experience, and somehow, you know, sometimes you get really deep really fast. And then it's bye-bye, and you're off, you know? There's lots of people, again, from my past who I've encountered in New York. I mean, enough times I go to New York to audition, and I'll either be couching it with a friend from undergrad, so I wouldn't have seen them since, what, 2002?
Right.
At the latest, maybe.
Exactly.
But we sang, we acted, we did all this together, and we're still connected on that level. And they're artists as well, so they know, I'm coming in for one day to do this audition. Can I couch it at your place? Of course you can. And if for some reason they wanted to come to TO, it would be the same. You know, the relationships between artists stay. They stay that way. They stay on that level. Everybody knows what it's like to have to fly somewhere for an audition or go somewhere and not have a whole bunch of money to throw around and go, yeah, I'm going to stay in a hotel and da-da-da. No, I need to come, sit quietly, warm up my voice in the morning, be somewhere where nobody's going to go, hey, shut up, cut out the racket, get to the audition, do that, pack the bag, hop a plane, and get back to where I was before, and then wait.
We all
know how that is. So we relate on that level almost for life.
I think it's amazing. I think you're an amazing person. I love your story. You're such a powerful actor. What do you want people to take away from this performance? I know somebody will take, you know, they'll see it differently,
yeah.
But what do you want people to walk away, and do you want them to think twice about their lives or the opposite, let it go and just, you know.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen anyway. I mean, the show resonates with people on such a level that they're going to be thinking about, so they're going to be at least questioning, be like, I wonder what, I wonder how, I want. But the point of the story is not to stay stuck in that mode or that moment, but also to appreciate what you do have,
excuse me,
yeah.
as a result of the choices you did make, because that happens too. More often than not, especially with us, because we do it every night. And often we'll have talkbacks where people go, what was your if-then moment? And we have to scroll through and think about it and figure it out and go, you know what? Like, the one that comes up for me, for example, is I did have an if-then moment in Central Park in New York with the woman who is currently my wife. And at the time, we had no idea that this is the way it would play out. But if I had not chosen the way I chose, literally, after that meeting, if I had chosen to go with my colleagues as opposed to go with her, this probably, we would not
be
having this conversation. Yeah, we wouldn't be married, and chances are the path would not have led to where we are now. So it's almost literal. So it happens. It's just going to happen because of the show. The show triggers that in us. But I think for me, what I would like them to do is appreciate where they are now as a result of the choices they've made and the things that they have to be grateful for, because I do that on a daily basis. I mean, I'm doing what I love for a living. And I'm married to the woman who I'm supposed, I know for a fact, who I'm supposed to be married to, as opposed to one, a marriage of convenience or any other choices. Like, I feel like we're where we're supposed to be. And there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in between. There was a lot of, like, it wasn't all roses. It wasn't all hunky-dory. And for whom is it ever that, you know? So what I would like for them to take away is to be able to appreciate where they are now. in a
you
nutshell.
You're a remarkable person. I was going to say, after Chicago, you go to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
You should consider at some point later on in your life, because I know you're young and you have a huge career ahead of you, but motivational speaking. Because you're,
well, I like teaching already anyway.
I know you were a teacher.
It's on the
res. Yeah.
I enjoy doing it too. I'm actually training to be an acting teacher with the teacher who I study with now. So it gets delayed by work because I'm on the road, so I can't be in the classroom.
Because you're working.
Yes.
You're working
actor. And she appreciates that. So
absolutely.
She's like, well, either you're an ambassador out there working or you're back here studying so you can teach. Either way, it's adding to the resume.
Either path you pick will be the right one.
It's still working towards something, you know? So.
You are a remarkable actor, remarkable person.
Well, thank you.
Promise you'll come back.
I promise.
Okay.
I would love to come back.
Come back to Chicago. It's Darren Herbert. He plays Steven in the wonderful production of If Then, runs through Sunday, March 6th. So get to the Oriental Theater and see this. Thank you so much, Darren.
Thank you.